Today, we're going to talk specifically about how Satan uses other people. When they're involved in the process, Satan can use other people to hinder your prayer. This will help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my teaching on prayer. I've been on this now. This is my sixth week of teaching on a better way to pray. That's the title of our entire album, our whole teaching. Also, I've got a book out on this, and I tell you, I'm excited about this. I believe that this has the potential of not only changing individuals, but I'm hoping that it causes a revolution, or probably more accurately, a reformation in the body of Christ concerning prayer. And so I encourage you to please get these materials that we've been offering. Now I've been talking for the last week, I've been talking about the final teaching in this series is entitled Prayer is a Process. And I've been trying to make the point that when you pray and ask for something, God moves instantly to release His power. But there is a process from when God moves to when you see the physical results of it. We've used the fig tree as an example. The Bible says it died immediately, but it was 12 hours later before there was anything visible because the miracle took place in the roots below the surface, something that you couldn't see, and it took about 12 hours for it to manifest. Likewise, when God moves, there is a time element from when God moves to when you see it. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them." That means instantly you've got to believe that God has given, and then you shall have them. That's future tense. Again, showing that when God moves, there's a process from when God gives the command to when you see the physical proof and evidence. And we've used a lot of different things to illustrate this. I've used Daniel as an example, that in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed a prayer, and in 3 minutes, while he was still praying, the answer manifests, but the angel Gabriel told him, says, "From the beginning of your supplications, God gave the command." And then in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, it was 21 days before Daniel saw the physical manifestation of what he was praying for. But in a similar manner, the messenger said, "From the first day, God gave the command." So God answered both of these prayers instantly, and yet one took 3 minutes to manifest, the other one took 3 weeks. God wasn't the variable. He moved just the same in both instances. And Daniel wasn't the variable. Now that's a possibility that sometimes we're in faith, sometimes we get into fear and unbelief. But in this case, it wasn't God or Daniel that was the difference. There was a demonic hindrance against his prayer. And yesterday on our program, I was establishing that Daniel, as an Old Testament man, had zero options. He didn't have authority over the devil, so he couldn't rebuke this devil. There's no indication that he knew what was going on. But if he had known, he had no option to do anything. So really, all Daniel could do was just grab hold of God's promise by faith and refuse to let go. And after Satan had thrown everything he had at him, Daniel was still believing. And so the answer came through and manifest, and Daniel got it. Now, there's a lot of New Testament saints that are praying the same way. They just grab hold of a promise of God, like concerning healing or concerning prosperity or emotions, deliverance, something like that. And they are praying and they're just holding on and holding on. And they are just, the devil is beating them black and blue. They're in crisis. They're struggling. And yet they just don't know that they have any options. I'm telling you that as a New Testament believer, we have power and authority to use that power available to us that Daniel didn't have as an Old Testament believer. And if we could just understand these principles that I've been talking about and know that God always moves. If you ask, you receive. You got to believe you receive when you pray. You got to believe that God moved at that instance. And if you can believe that, then you don't have to just stand there for 21 days and let the devil beat you to a pulp. You can know that God has moved, and that only leaves two other options if you haven't seen the manifestation of your answer to prayer. One of those options is that you aren't in faith. So you check yourself and find out if you're in faith. If you aren't in faith, if you aren't seeking the Lord, if there is known rebellion or you're walking away, You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you are opening up a door to the devil through sin, through disobeying God, well, there's no point in trying to rebuke the devil over here and yet opening up this door and letting him right back in. You've got to stop doing things that are giving Satan an inroad into your life as much as you can. Now, you can get too introspective and too analytical here to where you've got to be a perfectionist and believe everything is perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, if there is something that you know that you are deliberately doing something wrong, stop it. Because that hinders, it dilutes your power and authority. So stop doing any of those things. But it is possible that God is never the variable. It's possible that you aren't the variable, that Satan could just be hindering you as he was Daniel right here. And as a New Testament believer, we don't have to just stand there like Daniel did and take it and hold on. And after being beat to a pulp, if we are still holding on in faith to the promises of God, then we win by default. There's a better way for the New Testament believer. And that is take our authority and bind these demonic hindrances. Boy, that is a powerful truth. And what this means, the end results of what I'm talking about is that to a very large degree, now this needs more explanation than I'm probably going to have time to give it. That's the reason I'm really encouraging you to get all of these materials, because I say this in more detail on my other materials that I'm offering. But to a very large degree, you control the period of time in between when you say amen and there it is. Now, that's not totally true, but it's true to a very large degree. In many instances, you control that. See, you got to believe that when you pray, God moves. Then you check yourself and make sure that you're standing in faith. If you aren't standing in faith, get in faith. If you are giving Satan inroad into your life, stop that. Block that. And so you fix yourself. But if those two things are working, then that means that somehow or another, Satan is getting into this process of prayer and he's hindering and slowing down, gumming up the works. And you, as a New Testament believer, have the authority to get in and take authority over the devil and stop that. Now, that is a powerful truth. And again, most people don't think this way. Most people do not believe that we have any control. Again, I hope you've understood and followed along what I've been saying, but if you can understand this, it'll really help you. Most New Testament Christians today are praying like an Old Testament saint, like Daniel. That you just know something is God's will because it's promised to you in the Word. So you exert your faith, you ask for something, and then you just hold on and hold on and don't realize that you have any control over that situation. Daniel didn't have any control. There was nothing he could do except just continue in faith. And there's a lot of Christians that are doing the same thing. But as a New Testament Christian, we actually have an authority that Daniel didn't have. And if you know that God gave, and if you know that you're standing in faith and that's not the option, then you can get into prayer, find out how Satan is hindering your prayer, and you can stop him dead in his tracks. You can bind this thing and deal with it and get rid of that, and you can shorten the period of time in between when you say amen and there it is. Now, again, there are some notable exceptions to this, such as like me in the ministry. God called me. I believe I was separated to the gospel from my mother's womb. There's scriptures that talk about that. But I recognized God's call on my life in 1968. And I started ministering, but it took me probably 4 or 5 years before I broke into full-time ministry. And then even after that, did you know the Lord spoke to me in 1999? That would have been 31 years after I was serving God with all of my heart, and he said, "You are just now starting your ministry. If something would have happened to you and if you would have died prior to the beginning of my advent on television in January the 3rd of 2000, he says, if something would have happened and have stopped you, you would have never fulfilled the ministry that I've called you to." Now, the reason I bring this up is to say that, see, you can shorten the period of time in between when you say amen and there it is, except in some things like, some things are related to maturity. Now, to a degree, I can influence that, because the more I seek the Lord, I believe the quicker I can grow and the more mature I can become and I can do things quicker. I believe that I can hinder and delay. But to a degree, you can't just get into faith and command your ministry to come into full-fledged right now, because there is a process involved and you've got to mature. You can't microwave your ministry. And there are some things that you just cannot change, especially when other people's our will is involved in that situation. If you're praying for your mate to get saved or to get closer to the Lord or to get healed or something else, you can influence it to a degree, but you can't take complete control and authority over another person. So in a situation like that, you can influence it, but you can't just command something, take your authority and make it come to pass. So there are some exceptions to what I'm talking about. But as a general rule, when it comes to something like healing, did you know what? You are the one that has the greatest authority over your own body, over anybody else. And if you would get into faith, you can make healings manifest. You can make joy and peace manifest independent of what other people are doing around you. There are so many things that we have authority over, and we can shorten that time in between when we say amen. And there it is. You can shorten the manifestation period of time. And that's what we're talking about. And I tell you, this could make a huge difference in the way that you receive from God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So how is it that Satan hinders our prayers? What can we do to stop his hindrances? Well, first of all, let me just give you some examples here, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will help you apply this directly to your life. But there was a friend of mine that heard me preach this exact message from Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. This has been like 25 years ago. We were holding a men's meeting, and this guy lived in Woodland Park, Colorado, where in the area where I live around Colorado Springs. And he'd been trying to sell his house for 2 years. He had had it on the market. And he was selling it by the owner so that he wouldn't go through a real estate agent and pay the commissions and stuff. And he put this sign in his front yard, and he and his wife agreed and believed that their house was sold. And then they moved into another house. So he was actually making dual payments on these houses, and he really needed to sell it. And it had been 2 years that this house had been on the market, and it was really becoming such a burden upon him that he needed a miracle. And so this was on his heart, it was on his mind when he heard me teach on this, that God always moves, but Satan can hinder our prayers. I use that, you know, if you are praying for something that involves another person, then God could answer your prayer. You could be standing in faith, but if another person is involved in your answer to prayer, Satan could hinder your prayer through fighting that other person. And when I gave that illustration, this man Bob immediately related that to his situation of trying to sell this house. And here's what the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him that the very first time Bob prayed for that house to sell, God spoke to someone and had started the process of selling his house. But there was another person involved in this, and it wasn't God that hadn't moved, and it wasn't Bob that hadn't believed, but rather there was a person involved, and Satan was hindering them, and they didn't know how to stand against these hindrances and stuff. And so that's how this thing had drug out over 2 years. So here's what Bob did. The first thing he did was go to the Lord, and he asked forgiveness for doubting that God had spoken to someone, because it didn't look like God had. For 2 years, that house had been for sale, and there'd been a few people look at it, but no firm offers, and in the natural, it looked like nothing was happening. But he realized through this teaching that God had spoken the very first day that he prayed and asked for God to help him sell his house. God had spoken to someone, because God wasn't going to buy his house. Amen. God's not going to live there. God was going to use some person to meet this need. And he realized God was faithful, but he had been going back and asking God over and over and over to sell his house, thinking that nothing had happened because he couldn't see anything. So the first thing Bob did was repent and say, "God, I'm sorry for wavering." You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, when you ask for something, when you ask for wisdom, don't waver, because he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And Bob realized that because he couldn't see anything happening with the sale of his house, he was thinking God hadn't moved, so he would go back and ask again for God to sell his house, which was wavering. So he repented of that, and he said, God, I'm sorry. I believe that you've already spoken to someone, and I'm now in faith, and so it has to be the devil that is just hindering this person who is going to buy the house. And, of course, Bob didn't know what the situation was. He had the principles involved, but he didn't know the specifics. And so since he didn't know who it was that Satan was hindering, he didn't know how Satan was hindering him, he couldn't pray intelligently with just his understanding. What he did, he started praying in tongues. And I know that there's some of you that watch this program and you don't understand praying in tongues, and you may think that it's something that's unnecessary or something that you do only when you're ecstatic and you don't see a benefit of it. But I tell you, praying in tongues is powerful. When you don't know what to pray for the way you should, then the Holy Spirit makes intercession through you. And you can pray and let the Holy Spirit pray the perfect will of God. And so anyway, this is what Bob did. He started praying in tongues and interceding and asking God, or not asking God, he believed God had already moved, but letting God flow through him. And he was taking his authority. Now, he didn't know this with his mind. He wasn't saying it in English, but in the Spirit, he believed he was dealing with the demonic hindrances against the sale of his house. However it was that Satan was hindering the person that was going to buy his house, he was binding that, rebuking it, and Bob began to start praying that way. He only did that for 2 days. 2 days. And within 2 days, a man came to him and had the money in hand and wanted to buy his house. So they went to a title company. They were sitting down. They were signing the papers. He was closing on this house. And this man, while they were at the closing, said, did you know that 2 years ago you put that sign in your yard saying for sale by owner? And he said, I told my wife the very first day that you put that sign in the yard that that's my house. He lived not far from there, and he had to drive by that house every day. And he saw it, and he told his wife the very first day, that's our house. And he says, for 2 years I've been trying to buy your house. But he said, to buy your house, I had to sell another house that I had, and the person who was going to buy my house was trying to sell a house. And anyway, it was kind of like this domino effect. And he said that Satan, well, this guy wasn't saying Satan, but he says it's just supernatural the way that things have been hindered. Nothing has worked. He says, we have tried for 2 years to get our finances together. And then he says, the strangest thing is 2 days ago, which was exactly when my friend Bob quit asking God to do something and thinking that if God was to sell his house, that it would just automatically happen. And he began to realize it was a process, that Satan was hindering this process because another person was involved. And he started praying differently, taking his authority and commanding the devil to stop hindering. When Bob started doing that 2 days before, this man said at closing, he says, the strangest thing, 2 days ago, this guy just came to me, had all of the money. We closed, and he said, here I am. And he says, it's just amazing what has happened in the last 2 days. And it's just like a little light bulb went on inside of my friend. And he realized that, you know what? God had been faithful 2 years before. God had already spoken, but a person was involved in that process. And I've experienced this exact same thing. I remember when Jamie and I one time were just beginning in ministry, and we didn't have the money to pay the rent on our house. I had prayed and believed God to give it. And this is back before I had some of the understanding I've got now. I was kind of like Daniel, an Old Testament man. I was just holding on to a promise that God was going to meet our needs. But I didn't understand that people were involved in this process. I was just expecting God to rain the money out of the sky or supernaturally put it in my billfold. And I was praying and believing. And anyway, we were 3.5 weeks late on our rent. My landlady got mad at me and said, some preacher you are. You're a hypocrite. And man, I was taking some hits over this thing, and it was critical. And finally, a woman called, wanted to meet my wife and I, and she bought us a meal, which was the first time we had eaten in quite a while. And as we were eating, she slipped me a check that covered all of this rent, all of the money that we were believing for. And it was wonderful. And I thanked her for it. But I, in my heart, I was thinking, God, this is 3.5 weeks late. Why couldn't this have come back before our rent was due? Now, I didn't say those things, but I was thinking it. And as I was thinking this, this woman said, did you know 4 weeks ago God told me to give you this money? And she says, but I've never given money to anything except my local church. This is the first time I've ever given money to an individual. And even though I felt like it was God, it just was so odd. I wasn't sure. I've waited for 4 weeks just to make sure that this was God. And you know what? When I heard that, I thought, Lord, you were faithful. You spoke to this woman about supplying this need before I even had, before it was due. And it wasn't God that failed to move. And it wasn't me that was in doubt this time. Rather, it was the fact that God was going to use another person to help supply this need. And I was being hindered because of their fears and insecurity about giving to anything except an established church. So anyway, I hope you see that these illustrations show that, see, when you pray for something, God moves. God commands the supply. But Satan can hinder that, especially like if there's another person involved in your prosperity. It's not a matter of God. If it's His will, it just instantly happens. God isn't going to buy your house. God is not going to pay your rent. God is not going to put money in your purse or in your wallet. God doesn't counterfeit United States currency. God is not going to steal it from someone and take it out of their purse and put it in yours. God is going to speak to people and use people and circumstances to get finances to you. And if those people are being controlled and influenced by the devil, it could affect you. Did you know that every time somebody comes out with some kind of a crisis deal and, you know, the economy hits the skids, the stock market falls or anything like this, it usually has some kind of an impact on our income. Not because God quit speaking to people to give. It's because people all of a sudden get into fear. They start hearing these negative things and people start holding back. One of the very first things that people do is cut back on their giving when they get into crisis. Did you know that our lowest month of the year typically is February? And you know why that is? Because everybody goes into so much debt in December, the credit card bills come due, and they take the money that they would have been using to give to the ministry, and they pay off their debts and things like that. That's not God that causes February to be our lowest month. It's people. God uses people, and Satan hinders our finances through people. Anyway, I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm out of time today, so we're going to continue this on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in. Also, we're drawing to the close on this series entitled A Better Way to Pray. And the teaching that I've been giving today is all on a teaching CD that I have entitled Prayer is a Process. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information and then call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY25 titled Prayer is a Process when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there, just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference this week, March 3rd through the 5th. In Colorado Springs, Colorado for Karis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia, April 18th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Karis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Karis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Karis Bible College Campus Days.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
God doesn't control people against their will. He woos people and draws people. God is not going to make your wife or your husband or your children serve God. Now, He wants them to, and He will draw them, but God is a gentleman. He doesn't force Himself, and you can't use your faith and what we call prayer to manipulate and make God do what you want Him to do. It's not going to happen.